Into the Light Ministries is proud to present Your Alarm Call with Reverend Ron Vernier. Now we ask you to sit back and open your mind and your spirit to what God has to say to you on Your Alarm Call.
I can remember when my boys were younger, and we've got three sons, but I can remember when they were younger. And my wife and I would be sitting at the table reading the Word of God or having a cup of coffee or whatever, and one of them would start crying. And I mean crying, just screaming. Boy, and I was ready to go. I thought one of them chopped the other one's head off or something. I didn't know what happened. And I was ready to go. And my wife said, "Nah, sit down and drink your coffee. That's just a I'm mad cry." And I'd look at her like, "How do you know?" But knowing my wife, I didn't bother to question her. She knew that was just an I'm mad cry. And we'd have some more coffee and talk some more, read the word some more, whatever, and pretty soon, sure enough, one of the other kids would start crying, and it would be worse than the first one. This one would be screaming his head off. I mean, I thought for sure this time it's over with. One of them is close to death, and I was ready to go. And my wife would say, no, forget it. That's a I feel sorry for myself. That's a I'm going to get mom's attention, and is she going to whoop you? You're going to be sorry. Pay no attention. Kind of scratch my head and sit there, and sure enough, pretty soon crying would stop, and it was over with. She was right again. But then every once in a while, we'd be sitting there, and one of them boys would start to cry. My wife could almost qualify for a little person. She's only about that high. She's not very big. And them boys would start crying. And I'm telling you, my wife, only being about that high, her legs would clear the table as she leapt over it. As she leaped over the table, her feet never even touching my cup of coffee and spilling it, as she leapt over that table, her feet never even touched it, and in her way out the room, she was screaming, "Call for help! Because that's an I'm hurt cry." And every time, she was right. And I finally came to a conclusion. God put something into a mother's head that we don't have. To us, it's all noise. And it all sounds the same. But a mother knows the difference. A mother knows when that's an I'm hurt cry. A mother knows when that's a you best get out here type cry. And a mother will clear the table and go through the door, whether you open it or not, when she hears that cry. And they're never wrong. This is the kind of a cry that Hezekiah gave out that day. For he turned to the wall and he cried out unto God. And that's the way he cried. Wasn't one of them Mickey Mouse little cries. He cried out to God. He cried out to God, and God the Father heard that. And I don't believe God the Father touched the table. I believe he cleared it as he was getting up to help his son Hezekiah. Now let me tell you how I got this story. And then I'll leave you alone for tonight. One night I was in Minnesota. We had delivered a message there, and I had to go to a place called Tyler, Texas, and I had to be there like in 26 hours or something like that. It was a very long drive in a very short amount of time. And after the service that night and after the prayer line, we jumped in the car and we took off for Tyler, Texas. Put the three boys in the back and away we went. And we got to a place called Bethlehem. Down by Kansas City. I can't think of the name of the town there right now, but anyway, we got down there, and my oldest son, David, he started to cry. And my wife said, "Honey, you better pull over. He is sick." So I found a motel, and I pulled over, and I said, "You know, dear, we really don't have time to stop. I mean, we got to be in Texas." And she said, "I know, but he's really sick right now." And she reached in the back seat and she said, "Honey, every joint in his body, his fingers, his wrist, his elbow, his shoulders, every joint in his body is swelled up. This little boy was sick." And she said, "He's hot. He's got a horrible fever." So we immediately went down to the hospital. Now there's records to prove this, otherwise I wouldn't say it. And we went down to the little hospital down there in this little town, and we brought our son in there, and they took one look at him, and boy, they just started taking out the blood one right after another and taking x-rays and all that. And I was scared. I mean, I was really scared. And I'm not gonna lie to you. There were tears in my eyes. I was scared. I was worried. This was our oldest son. This was a miracle baby that God had given us. We were not supposed to have kids, and yet God gave us three of them. But this was our firstborn. This was our eldest. And they took all these blood tests, and pretty soon the doctors all got together and they asked us if we would come in this little room. And when them doctors ask you into that little room, you know what's coming. And they asked us into that little room and they closed the door and they said, "Mr. and Mrs. Bernier, we are sorry to tell you this, but your son has rheumatic fever and his kidneys are about to give out. In fact, we don't know if they're going to last long enough to get them to the Children's Hospital in Kansas City, where they might be able to do something for them. But even if they can," they said, "we have to warn you up front, we're sorry, but even if they can, in all probability, he will be a vegetable. His kidneys are gone on him," and something else, I can't remember what, I'm not a doctor, was just about gone, was going out rapidly. And there was, right kind of kitty corner from the hospital, there was a lab, a medical lab. In this little town, believe it or not, they had a hospital and a medical lab, and it's still there. I check every time I go through. And they said, just to make sure, we're going to draw one more sample of blood, and we're going to bring it over to the lab, and we're going to have it checked over there. Now, let me tell you something about rheumatic fever, just in case you don't know. If you have rheumatic fever when you are 3 years old, and you get a physical when you are 63 years old, the doctor can tell you you had rheumatic fever because there is something that's still left over in your bloodstream or in your body that tells them you had it once. I don't know what it is, but it stays there forever. They always know you had it. So they ran over to the lab and they brought some blood over there and they had this blood tested like 2-3 times. It just seemed to me that if they kept taking it, they were just going to kill them from lack of blood. But they tested it and they came back and they said, absolutely, no doubt, 100% every test, this boy has rheumatic fever. And if you don't get him out of there like right now, he's not going to make it. And then they started to debate whether or not they could get a helicopter to airlift him out or whether or not they should take him by ambulance. And they called for the helicopter, but the helicopter was busier, already out. They couldn't use it. So they had to take him by ambulance. But I never forget this. My wife and I are standing in the hallway of this hospital. And tears are coming down my eyes. And my wife is crying so hard by this time, you could have mopped the floor with the water by her feet. Our son, when it's your son, when it's your daughter, when it's your little child, it's a world of difference. And I started to cry out to God. I said, God, we could not have children. That was a medical impossibility, but you showed my wife the scripture that said it is the Lord thy God that opens up the womb and that closes the womb. You opened the womb. You gave us the children. Is this what you gave me, my son, for? That he should die of rheumatic fever in this little town? This is what you gave me a son for? I was a little angry at God. I couldn't understand it. And God began to speak to me. And that gentle voice of God, the Lord said, do you remember, and you were driving down here tonight, and my spirit began to speak to you from Isaiah 38. And I said, yes, Lord, I heard that, and I listened to it, and I was faithfully going to bring that word in Texas tomorrow. And God said, I did not give you that word for Texas. My son, I gave you that word for you because I knew you were going to need it in a few hours. And slowly, even into this block of stone, slowly, the message of the Holy Spirit begin to sink in. And I turned to my wife and I said, honey, God has just spoken to me. There ain't nothing wrong with David. Our son is healed. That's what all that was about. That's what all that with Hezekiah was about. You know what we did, dear? We listened to the wrong people. But for the first time in my life, I turned to God and I cried out like the kids cry out when they're hurt. And God heard that cry. When it's your child, you can cry in a way you've never cried before. You can cry louder than you've ever cried before. You can cry from a depth you never even knew existed before. And that's the area I had cried from that night, and God heard me that night. And I said to the doctor, "You don't need to take him. God has spoken to me, and my son is healed." And he looked at me like I was nuts. And he said, like you would to an escaped loony bin patient, "Oh, Mr. Bernier, we know how you feel." "No, you don't. God has just healed my son." "We understand your religious beliefs." "No, you don't. God just healed my son. But we are taking your son to the Children's Hospital in Kansas City. And if you try and get in the way, we will call the police and get a court order because your son's going to KC. And my wife reached over and said, "Honey, this is not the time to start a fight. Let them go to KC. So I talked to the ambulance driver and I said, "Look, I'm going to put these people in your ambulance and they're all safe and they're all feeling good and they're all sound and they better arrive the same way." And he said, "Okay," and they took off and they could, of course, go a lot faster than I could. So it was later, much later when I got there. But finally, when I get to the Children's Hospital in Kansas City, I walked in there and I told them who I was and I said, "They brought my son in here in an ambulance and he is supposed to have rheumatic fever and he's supposed to be dying and he's supposed to have kidney failure and he's supposed to have this, that, and the other thing." And they said, "Yeah, he's supposed to have a lot of things, but the truth of the matter is he's up on the third floor playing Nintendo and eating ice cream." And I went up to the playroom, and there he was, scoffing up that ice cream as fast as he could get it down. And playing, well, I don't know if it was Nintendo or whatever it was, whatever the game was on the thing there, he was playing that fast as he could go. So I asked the doctor what happened. And he said, "I have not got the faintest idea. But I'll tell you what, if I was you, I would not pay that ambulance charge. Because when your son got here, first they called in on the way and told us the report. But we asked him how your son was doing. They said that he was doing fine, sitting up in the back seat talking to his mother. And when we got him here, we took the blood test, and not only does he not have rheumatic fever now, but he's never had it." So they called back down to Bethlehem down here, and they said, "This boy has never had rheumatic fever." They said, "Look, we have two jugs of his blood, right, or vials of his blood right here, that says and that proves that he had rheumatic fever. We got two more vials that the lab, just right across the street here, has also completed, and they proved beyond any doubt that he had and has rheumatic fever." And the guy said, "Well, we got about four jugs down here that proved beyond a doubt he don't have rheumatic fever, and he never had it." And they kept him for about another 6 hours just to keep an eye on him. Do you know, now not all doctors are like this, but I just happened to run into a bunch of morons. All of those people together would not admit that God had done a miracle. They wouldn't admit it. There had to be a mistake somewhere. Now stop and think about that. First, the hospital makes a mistake. Then they take the blood over to the lab, who doesn't, they don't know the boy, they don't know the conclusion of the first test. So they make the same exact mistake on two more samples. Or they're right and they rush them all the way down to the Children's Hospital in Kansas City, and they take the test down there, and they take several of them, and they make the same mistake on every single sample they take. They make the same mistake. They're looking for it, and they can't find it. It isn't there. Well, my son is quite a bit older now, and he's married, and they're expecting their first child, and he's had many, many blood tests since then. And in every single one of them has shown that he has never had rheumatic fever. But I still have a lot to say this. The mistake I made, I believe with everything within me, I believe that had I have listened to that doctor, to that man in a white coat, whether he be a doctor, an attorney, a judge, whatever, had I listened to him and believed him, I believe my son would be dead today. I believe my son would be dead today. But by faith, I believed God. And my son is alive today and expecting his first son. There's too many people out there, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that nobody dies. There is a time appointed unto man to die. When that time comes, there's nothing you can do about it. Say goodbye, because you're going. But up until that time, you don't have to believe any doctor, any group of doctors, any clinic, any lawyer, but turn unto God and cry out to God and see what the Lord thy God would say unto thee. You don't need to run off and find some guy that's supposed to be able to prophesy and give you words from God as long as you give him $1,000 offering. You didn't see Hezekiah telling his servants, run out and buy me the last supper dishes. Or go give an offering to Benny Hinn. Go give Copeland another couple million. He turned to the wall and cried out to God. Jesus said, he who wants of the water, come and drink freely, freely. These people don't understand the word free. Freely you have received, now freely give.
And now some previews from Pastor Bernier's next program.
$1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 and send him off to Benny so he can buy another suit. Why would you do that? You really believe that? You know, people said, I'm going to close in a second. I promise you, you got relief coming. People said when J. Jim Jones committed suicide with 900 people down there in Jonestown. My wife and I have been there. We have looked at it. We have seen it. And it still, to this day, it still gives you a sickening feeling. But they said, don't you get sick when you think about how that went down. And the truth of the matter is, I have to answer no. No, not at all. What makes me sick? And you got to do a little homework here. You got to have a little bit of discernment, do a little bit of homework. But what makes me sick is the night that Jim Jones, who originally was in Assemblies of God ordained pastor, aren't they all for some reason? But anyway, that Jim Jones walked into the church, and that's when they had it out in California, walked up to the center of the stage, took the Bible that he had, ripped it in half, threw it on the floor, stomped on it and said, we don't need this anymore. It don't contain anything for today. What we need is what I say. And every single one of them people nodded their head like a bunch of them stupid dogs you see in the back window of the pickup trucks. Yep, yep. That's when I feel sorry. That's when I feel bad. When Kenneth Copeland said, you didn't need Jesus Christ to go to Calvary because he was like an emancipated worm. That's what he said. That's his quote. He said, I could have done as much if not better. I could have done as much if not better at Calvary for you than for Jesus. Than Jesus did for you. Now for those millions who kept the TV on, for the millions who wrote out the checks to Kenneth Copeland Misery, there is when I get sick, not when they drink the Kool-Aid. If they're too stupid to miss the first part, I'm certainly not going to feel sad about the last part.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and we ask you to tune in again next time to The Alarm Call. Remember, if you would like to contact us for prayer requests, or if you just need someone to talk to, you can reach us on the World Wide Web at www.intothelight.org. You can also send us traditional mail at Post Office Box 1523 in Hollister, Missouri, 65673. Please have a wonderful day, and may God be with you in all that you do.